all ages. So because Jonathan and I have been teaching, I think we're on session 11, but I think Jonathan and I both feel this is excellent material for all ages. It's too good. It's too good just to keep to the young adults. So as usual with the sessions, we're going to start with a bit of a game. So I've actually got some, I think this must be your wool, Jane. It's Grace's, okay. So I would like some volunteers. I think there's probably about 10 bits of wool. And so what I'd like you to do is, if you're brave enough, get a piece of wool, find a bit of floor area, and I'm going to ask you to draw an object using this piece of wool on the floor. Okay, so come and get your piece of wool, and then I'll tell you what object you can draw. No, I'm going to give you, I'll give you a choice of seven objects. So, and then you can all, the rest of us could admire, and see, the rest of us can kind of see if you can work out what these budding artists are doing. Well done. So, there you go, got to be quick. Hugo, Carissa. Okay, so there's one left. No, I'm in charge. So get an area of the floor. So Abby, the others can watch what they're doing. So goes in, Abby, if you want to come. So your choice is either draw us a flower, an octopus, a dinosaur, a bird, a mouse, a fish, or a man or woman. Okay. So you have a minute starting now. we've got. I know Alex is doing art classes, so I'm sure his will be good. So it will be interesting to see if other people can tell what it is you have drawn. I can see some very good drawings coming together here. Okay. Right. Give 10 more seconds, 10. This is what British Bake Off, 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, stop. Okay, so let's go around. What do we think? What do we think this is? Very good. What do we think this is?
Woman.
Yeah. It's probably needed a longer piece of. What do we think this is? What do we think this is? What do we think this is?
Grand Prix.
Grand Prix. Oh, it's the, which circuit is that, Hugo? Is it Suzuka? Jonathan might be able to tell which circuit it is. What do we think this is? It looks like a shark. Yep. What do we think this is?
It's a man.
It's a man. Okay, and what do we think this is? Very good. Oh, what do we think this is? An octopus?
An
iMobile. An iMobile. Okay, very good. So, right, one more. Right, pick up your piece of wool. That was your first. So, I have one more go. So, this time, try and do something different. So, again, your choices are a flower, an octopus, a dinosaur, a bird, a mouse, a fish, or a man or a woman. Okay, you have a minute starting now. Yeah, she's doing an octopus who's had an accident. Nasty accident. Okay, 10 seconds. Five, four, three, two, one, stop. Right, so what do we think Karen's is? I think so. That's like a fish. A bird. Very good. What, is this another Grand Prix circuit, Hugo?
Nope, number 8.
Number 8, very good. Wow, that's, look at those feet on that bird. Any particular bird you would go for, Robert?
Lammergeier.
Wow, I've never even heard of that, but I'll take your word for it. Hmm.
The mouse.
It's a mouse. Very good. This looks like a bird. And a fish.
Yeah.
Very good, everyone. Okay, you may keep your...
James mouse.
Oh, sorry. Oh, yes. That's like a bird. Oh, yeah.
It's a mouse.
With his two little feet and a huge tail. Very good. Okay, you can take your piece of yarn with you and maybe use it to... I don't want it either, so you can... Great. So... What do those items we drew have in common with each other? Apart from the Grand Prix circuit, yeah, although God did make the earth that the Grand Prix circuit's on and all the things that Grand Prix cars are made from. So we're on session 11 from the materials that we've been using. Where did I leave my clicker? Oh, there it is. Thank you. And so... we are going to just quickly recap. So the Bible tells us that the way we all got here is that God created the universe and it was perfect. And all those octopuses and mice and all the things that you drew, flowers and fish, were all perfect. None of the octopuses were missing a leg or, you know, problems like that. But then Adam and Eve disobeyed God. And that's where things went wrong with this universe. And now, you know, we do see animals and humans suffering in many ways. Sickness and death and war and all the rest of it. But God had a rescue plan even before he created the universe. He knew that he would have to come and suffer death in order to rescue us from the free choice that Adam and Eve made. And because of Jesus' amazing rescue plan, the world is going to end up perfect again. And only those people who choose to honour and love God will be part of that perfect world. But there are other views about what's going on, the way we got here. The theory of evolution is very popular around the world. And that says there was nothing and then there was a huge bang. And everything we see came from nothing, just by accident. And then all the dust in the universe kind of clumped together to form planets. That's how the planet was formed. And then slowly over billions of years, single-celled organisms popped into existence. And then again, they got more and more complicated, and the frogs and monkeys and humans eventually came to be. But the bad news is that it won't last forever, and in the end, the universe will lose all its energy and just die. So that's what a lot of people in our country think, including some very clever and well-educated people. But we're going to look today at the subject of fossils. Has anyone ever seen a real fossil? Put your hand up if you've seen a real fossil. And I remember my daughter Rachel, she's 25, we went on a fossil hunting expedition when she was a teenager in a quarry in Derbyshire. And it's interesting to find them. So we're going to answer this question today. When you look at fossils, do they support creation or evolution? What, you know, if we look at them as evidence, so we're going to look at plants and animals, and we're also going to look at apes and humans. So, plants and animals. So, evolutionists predicted that we would find fossils of like in-between creatures, or they call transitional creatures, buried in the earth. Because in their ideas, it would take a lot of changes to turn a mouse-like creature into a bat. So evolutionists believe that bats came from mice and over, again, millions of years. So if that was true, then we would expect to find fossils of something in between a mouse and a bat. But although we've discovered loads of fossils, we still haven't found any of these what are called missing links. So what we actually find when we look at fossils, this is a fossil of a bat. And this bat's got fully formed wings, and the experts study zoology can look at the ear bones in the skull and realize it still had ears that could echolocate. So bats have always been bats, according to the fossils. Evolutionists claim that fossil is 50 million years old. But what it shows is that God created bats as bats from the beginning. And Charles Darwin, who came up and popularised this theory of evolution, He said, why is not every geological formation and every stratum, that means a layer of rock, full of such in-between or intermediate links? So Darwin realised that there should be lots of these, but they were overwhelmingly missing. And over the years, evolutionists have claimed to have found some of these in-between links. So in 1981, I forgot to say, Karen, can you pass those worksheets around on next year? There's about one between two. So you can refer to these if you want. So in 1981, someone found a fossil which they named a Pachycetus. Why did they come up with the name Pachycetus? Pachy means from Pakistan and cetus means whale. So they decided that, I guess they must have found this bone in Pakistan. And they claimed that this fossil showed something in between a land animal and a whale. So they claimed it was a fossil that showed a land animal changing into a whale. But the actual piece of bone they found, can you see that little shaded area of the skull there? Can you see that? That was the only bone they actually found. So there was a bit there as well. So they found a bit of the skull there and a bit of the skull there. And based on those two little bits of bone, they came up with this amazing drawing on the top science magazine in the world called Science. They just made it up, yeah, from two little bits of bone. And they said, look, we've got proof that this is a land animal changing into a whale, and this is what it looked like. Okay. Later, more of the skeleton was discovered, and so they had to radically change their drawings. So here's the skeleton as it now looks here. Doesn't look much like a whale, does it? And they now know that it had hooves, not flippers, and probably spent all of its time on land. Many evolutionists still believe Pachycetus is related to whales because it has a bone in its ear that is somewhat like a whale's ear bone. However, the ear bones of the Pachycetus are more like those of other fossil land creatures called artiodactyls. I've never heard of those before, but there we go. And we learned in a previous lesson that similarities are not proof for evolution. Anyway, this creature is not becoming a whale. It's just an extinct land animal, which is what you'd guess if you looked at that skeleton there. Actually, most fossils show little evidence of change. There may be slight variations within each kind of animal, but not radical changes from one basic kind to another, like from a mouse to a bat. In fact, some fossils looked virtually identical to forms still alive today. We call these living fossils, even though they're supposed to be millions of years old. So this is a ginkgo leaf, and that's one that you can grow in your back garden there, or somewhere on the planet, and there's a fossil. I mean, they look very similar, don't they? And here's another one. This is a fish called a coelacanth. The evolutionists think it's 340 million years old, that fossil, but it looks identical. I think they caught one recently in some ocean somewhere, and it hasn't changed at all since that fossil. Okay, there we go. So they found a new load of these fish in North America. And here's another one. So the horseshoe crab, this fossil they think was 200 million years old. I would disagree with that age. The horseshoe crab hasn't changed much. There are many more examples of living fossils on practically all the branches of the tree of life. They demonstrate how God made creatures according to their kinds. Now there's another thing we find when we look at fossils, and that's animals that have gone extinct. So you don't see a T-Rex anymore today, thank God. They look pretty scary things. But the fossils do not show evolution producing brand new forms of life. Instead, the major change that has happened is that many living things have gone extinct. Noah's worldwide flood was a big factor in that. And human hunting caused a lot of animal extinction. The fossil record shows us that many other creatures have gone extinct. So fossils are a record of extinction, not a record of evolution. So this should remind us what we've learned in some previous lessons. Evolutionists say that death and the struggle for survival over millions of years is what resulted in human beings coming into existence. But the Bible says the exact opposite. The Bible says that death entered the world after the first human, Adam, sinned and disobeyed God. This is what it says in Romans 5:12. Sin came into the world through one man, and death came through sin. And so death spread to all men because all sinned. And so here's a picture of what the Bible says, how fossils came to be. So first, there's Adam. He's disobeying God, eating from the fruit in the Garden of Eden. Then that results in death. And then we find bones of dead animals and humans buried, particularly in the flood, which buried a lot of fossils, which we'll look at in another session. So this means fossils cannot be millions of years older than Adam, because that would deny the Bible's teaching that Adam's sin brought death and the curse into the world. This is why we need the gospel. And here's the gospel in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. For as by a man came death. Which man brought death?
Adam.
By a man has come also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, so also in Christ shall all be made alive. So this is telling us Adam created a big problem for us, but Jesus is the answer. Amen. So let's just do a quick review. I think I do have some tokens somewhere for prizes, but because of time. Sorry? Yes, they're in exchange for tokens that are in the black bag underneath your chair. So number one, how do fossils defy evolution? Put your hand up if you can tell me what we've looked at so far today. How do fossils defy evolution? Thomas? The fossils aren't different, they're the same as the animals today. Very good. Ugo? They do prove that Darwin was wrong, because he said if evolution was true, we'd find lots of fossils of things like halfway between a mouse and a bat, and all the, you know, halfway between a land animal and a whale, and they're obviously missing. So second question, what is the problem with the idea that fossils were formed millions of years before Adam and Eve? What's the problem with that idea that we've looked at? Anyone? And? That's right. So if fossils were formed millions of years before Adam and Eve, then what the Bible teaches us is wrong. What the Bible says is that death came after Adam and Eve, and therefore these fossils can't be that old. So we're now going to look at the second area of fossils of evidence. We've looked at plants and animals. Now we're going to look at apes and humans. Who's heard of ape men or Neanderthals on the BBC or the media? Yeah, they like to, every now and then they'll find a bit of a bone and they'll come up with a fresh story about this. So let's look at the evidence for this. And this is a very popular drawing you find in evolutionary textbooks. Evolutionists claim that they have found a number of fossils of ape men. They claim these creatures evolved over millions of years into modern man, as shown in this drawing. But we want to ask, does the fossil record really show a series of ape-like creatures becoming more and more human over time? And as we'll see, the answer is no. In fact, we don't. So when you see pictures like this on TV, and even in school or university textbooks, it is important not to confuse the artwork with the evidence. Often the artwork, like we saw with that little picture of kind of a weird whale type thing evolving, often the artwork go far beyond what the evidence, the bones themselves, actually demonstrates. Evolutionary artwork is usually based on guesswork and bias. Here's a quote from one of the more famous evolutionists from the last century. Most ape men fossils, even though they serve as a basis for endless speculation and elaborate storytelling, are fragments of jaws and scraps of skull. So imagine after I'm dead, someone found a fragment of my skull and a fragment of my jaw, and they gave them to you and said, right, draw a picture of what John looked like. You know, I doubt they'd do a very good job, really. And so we're going to look at three examples. Here's an example of this. In 1993, scientists discovered some fossil remains in England that they said represented an extinct ape man. They named him Boxgrove Man. The artwork in the newspapers showed a subhuman ape-like head on a more or less human body. But what was the evidence they actually found? Just one piece of human shin bone and two clearly human teeth. So here's the bone, shin bone, and one of the teeth there. And from those two bits of evidence, they came up with this picture. So it's not really very credible. They weren't even sure if the teeth belonged to the same person as the shin bone, because they were separated by some distance. So how do they know what Boxgrove Man's head looked like when they only found a shin bone and two teeth? The answer is, they don't. And so what you find is you study over the history of the last 100 years or so, how these claims of ape men come about, is they basically use three methods. One, they find some ape bones and they upgrade them to look human. Or they found some human bones and they downgrade them to look like an ape. Or they get a mixture of apes and human bones and put them together and try and make it look like an ape man. That's basically when you dig into all these stories. So we look at three examples. The first one, you may have heard of this, Piltdown Man. Let's find the... Here we go. Piltdown Man was created when someone mixed ape and human bones, which were discovered, in quotes, in 1912. It turned out to be a deliberate hoax. Someone took part of a human skull, an orangutan's jaw, and a chimpanzee tooth, which he'd filed down, and he treated the bones with acid to make them appear old. Then he buried them in the ground, only to find them later on. Everyone today knows that Piltdown Man was a fake, but it was taught as proof of evolution for 40 years. The lesson for us is this: don't be fooled by the evolutionary artwork. Let's look at another example. Next, you've probably heard of Neanderthals. In the case of Neanderthals, many different skeletons with lots of bones have been found, so there is no question that Neanderthals really existed. But is this how they looked? This drawing of a Neanderthal was made in 1909 and makes him look very brutish. He's hunched over, covered in fur, carrying a club. He looks a lot like King Kong. However, again, this artwork is not supported by the evidence. This is how they're portrayed today. A Neanderthal skeleton actually looks very similar to yours and mine. Although there are some minor differences between a typical Neanderthal skeleton and that of most people alive today, they are still clearly human. That looks quite a lot like my old youth pastor. So we also know Neanderthals were human based on their intelligence and their DNA. This is why evolutionists had to change their depictions over the years. So as shown in their magazines and museums, they kind of show them looking pretty human now. By the way, the dirt on their skin and how they kept their hair is not part of the evidence from the fossils. That's just a guess. That's just artwork. But if you depicted these people as clean-shaven and showered wearing smart clothes, they would not be noticeably different from living people today. That is because Neanderthals were fully human. They were a people group who lived in Europe and the Middle East after the time of the Tower of Babel. They were descendants of Adam and Eve and not connected to apes at all. They are our relatives made in God's image. We'll look at one other example. This is a famous one. This is taking ape bones and making them look more human. The famous Lucy would fit into this category. Many evolutionists say that Lucy is our ancestor. In museums, she's always shown standing upright, as you see here, like a human rather than an ape. But that is artwork based on how evolutionists interpret the fossils. In the sculpture on the left, you can see that the artist gave Lucy small irises in her eyes with lots of white around them. This is how human eyes look. But most apes have darkly coloured eyes with little or no white showing. Again, we do not find Lucy's eyes as fossil evidence because your eyes have no bones. So this artwork is meant to make Lucy appear more human. However, the fossil evidence we do have does not show that Lucy is becoming human. Instead, she is just an extinct type of ape. If you take away the whites in her eyes and put her down on all fours, Lucy would not look very human at all. So there's a bit more information. In fact, her skeleton reveals that she is very ape-like. Lucy would only have been about 3 feet tall when she did stand up on her legs. Chimpanzees and other living apes can do this, but it is not comfortable and it takes a lot of muscle power. But Lucy was designed for walking on her knuckles, like apes typically do. She had a special locking wrist designed for knuckle walking. Her semicircular canals, that's in her inner ears, that help with balance, show that she probably did not walk upright all the time, in the same way that humans do. Lucy was also built for climbing trees. She had long arms and shoulder bones turned upwards so she could hold her arms over her head for a long time and hang from tree branches. Her curved fingers and toes show that she spent time grasping tree branches. It's obvious she was an ape. Also, some evidence suggests that there are likely human bones mistakenly mixed into the assortment that makes up Lucy's kind. Even in Lucy's own skeleton, a few of the bones may in fact be human. If so, then those fossil bones ought to be sorted out and not used as evidence that Lucy had human-like features. In any case, there is no compelling reason to say that Lucy is related to human beings at all. So our conclusion is God didn't make any ape men. Indeed, there never were any ape men because God didn't make any. He made humans in his image, distinct and separate from all the animals. Why does this matter? Well, if your ancestor was an ape, then God is not your creator. And therefore, last week we were learning about the Ten Commandments. Who remembers the Ten Commandments from last week? So if we came from apes, then nobody can say, you shall not kill, you shall not, shall not murder, you shall not lie. If the whole of life is a big accident and we just evolved from apes, then we can decide what's right and wrong. Everyone can. We're no different to the animals. But this behaviour would lead to disaster. However, we've looked at the evidence. There's no evidence we're descended from apes. In fact, the evidence is that humans have always been humans, and therefore the Bible tells us we're created by God. And then if God is the creator, then he can set the rules. We're accountable to him. And one day we'll stand before him and he will judge us based on what we've done. If we trust in Jesus Christ, all our sins are forgiven and we can live forever with him in the world, the new world to come. So it makes a huge difference. So quick question, and my lovely school lady has got some tokens ready to give out. If you can answer these questions correctly, please, Karen. And number one, what are three ways to make an ape man? Thomas. Right, I think, and what are you going to say, Hugo?
Maybe one is scared, dumb, or I don't know.
Yeah, so you can either take, so Carissa? Yeah, very good. Upgrade, downgrade, and combine. So you can take some ape bones and make them look human. You can take some human bones and make them look like an ape. Or you can mix them together and come up with some kind of weird combined thing. Question two, why does it matter whether we're descended from Adam or apes? What difference does it make? Ugo?
Because we are all part of God's creation.
Very good, Ugo.
We're not Darwin's.
We're not Darwin's ideas, no. Carissa? That's true, yeah, if we were descended from ape men. Anyone else say, so what difference does it make whether, so if we're descended from Adam, how does that affect how we live? Yeah, so we're accountable to our creator. So one day we're going to have to face him and he'll tell us whether we've done right or wrong. So you can have a token there, Karen. So just to wrap up, the gospel depends on both atoms. You've got a question, Karen?
Question.
Yep. Yeah, and we did talk about the fact that some of these claimed, like Neanderthals, the DNA is human. So, DNA is...
Yeah.
Yeah. Yes, I think that's true. And as it said, when we're talking about Lucy, it said these fossil bones ought to be sorted out. Obviously, if you're trying to sell evolution, you're not that motivated to dig too deeply. But yes, it can be tested. Robert? Okay. Yeah. So, yeah, once the soft tissue's gone. Good point, Robert. Yep. Yeah. 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 Good question. And I think the big picture is, if Darwin's ideas were correct, you'd find loads of these weird looking, you know, a bit like that picture back here, which you often see on bumper stickers for people who follow evolution. Which one was it? This one. You'd find lots of these all over the place, but we don't. So, you know, we can have complete confidence in what the Bible tells us. So I was on this last slide, I think. So the gospel depends on both Adams. So the good news of Jesus says that because of the first Adam, it says in 1 Corinthians 15, the first Adam became a living being and he disobeyed God, and the last Adam became a life-giving spirit. Now this is a great verse. I think this is the last slide. Romans 5:19. Would someone like to read this out for us?
For as by the one man's disobedience, the many will be made sinners, so by the one man's obedience, the many will be made righteous.
So who's this first man taught? Who is it referring to, this first man here? Adam. So because of Adam's disobedience, how many of us became sinners?
Everyone.
All of us. Now who's this other man? Who's the one man who is obedient? Jesus, the second Adam it talks about. Because of his obedience in sacrificing himself and going to the cross, the many will be made righteous. How many? Everyone. Everyone who trusts in Jesus' sacrifice. So in other words, none of us had a choice about being descended from Adam, did we? Sometimes you'll hear people complain, well, I didn't ask to be born. That's true. It was God's plan. But to be born again, you have to ask Jesus to be the Lord and Saviour of your life. So it's a choice. Everyone who's going to live in the perfect heaven and earth to come will have chosen to believe in Jesus' amazing sacrifice, his obedience. And tell the person next to you, because you trust in Jesus, you are now perfectly righteous. Okay, so there's loads of discussion questions, but we'll leave that. So did you enjoy that session? Did you find it helpful? That's good. So we'll do one with the young people next week next door. We're moving on to look at the fall in more depth next Sunday. So if someone would like to pass the bread and juice around, we're going to have communion. And what's communion got to do with today's lesson? Well, that's Jesus' obedience. It wasn't easy or cheap for God to rescue us. You know, someone asked me recently, if God knew Adam and Eve were going to disobey him and cause all this trouble, why did he let that happen? Why did he give them that choice? And the answer is because God is love. He wants his creation to have the freedom to choose, even the freedom to reject him. And also because God is love, God knew that creating Adam and Eve with that free choice would mean he would have to die. He would have to suffer. His son would have to become a man and choose to die on the cross. So, you know, that is just an amazing reminder of communion that, you know, this little piece of bread and this little cup of juice represents the most awful thing that God suffered for you and me, because he loves you and me. Amen. How many of your friends would jump in front of a bus to save your life? Probably not many. In fact, the Bible says very rarely you'll find someone who is willing to die for a good man. You know, I was in the Alpha course, they talk about a Catholic priest in the concentration camp when I think a Jewish man with seven kids was sentenced to death. And this guy, who was a single celibate Catholic priest, he said, I'll take his place because I don't have a wife and kids. And he did take. So it's very rare. Occasionally you'll hear stories like this. But the Bible says, but for, you know, for a sinner, who's gonna want to do that? And effectively, in God's eyes, we were all criminals. We were all breaking his laws all the time. And yet God loved us so much that Jesus went to the cross. He allowed his body to be broken and tortured and crucified so that our bodies can be healed and our souls can be made clean, our spirits can be born again, and we can become God's children. So let's say, thank you, Jesus. I receive with thanksgiving your healing power and your sacrifice for me. Amen. And we thank you for this cup that represents your blood. Lord, we thank you that it was the greatest price ever paid in all history when you gave your life for us, represented by your blood, so that we could be rescued from death, from Adam's curse, and we could be born again, we could be raised from the dead. And in the future, these bodies will be lifted from the grave and live on a new earth with you forever. And we want to thank you for your love and sacrifice, Jesus. Amen. Amen. So I'm very grateful for God's healing power because, you know, if you ask Karen and Thomas, I wouldn't have been able to talk this long without coughing for most of this week. So I'm grateful to the Lord for that. So we're not going to do Alpha tomorrow because it's bank holiday. So it'll be the following Monday. Next Sunday, we have the Gideons, or Good News for Everyone.